Can you tell me who you are and what you're doing?
My name's Edward Lofts, and I'm a PhD student at Imperial College, and I work as part of the CPE, which is developing these organic semiconducting materials.
The CPE?
It's a Centre for Plastic Electronics.
So what I see in front of me is this curved plastic sheet. I was just hearing about solar panels. Are these similar?
Yes, so what I've got here is it's a flexible solar cell that's made of our plastic materials. It's about 50 centimetres by 50 centimetres, and because of the way it's been made, it's flexible, and you can bend it and twist it and it would still work. And with, compared to the silicon solar cells that you're probably familiar with and you see on buildings, isn't something you could do. If you bent one of those, they chatter and break and they wouldn't work anymore.
What are these other things on the table? We've got functional plastic inks. What are they?
The advantage of our organic materials compared to the inorganic materials that you might see making solar cells or LEDs, light emitting diodes, which is another thing we have an example of here, is that because they're plastics, we can dissolve them. So if you take a solvent and you take our material, you can make up a solution and then use that to make a device. And what that does is it opens up techniques of manufacturing that you wouldn't be able to use otherwise. So for example, inkjet printing, you need a liquid to work with. So we're able to inkjet print a solar cell. In fact, one of the solar cell I've got here has been printed. It was made in that way. And then if you can do these sorts of things, you can get the price of the things we're making down a lot. So with the solar cells again, if you could print them in a similar way to how we print newspaper at the moment, you have a big roll and then the paper comes off and goes through a machine which prints the ink down, and you're printing meters and meters per second of the material. We would like to be able to do the same thing but make solar cells instead, and then maybe we can make these solar cells as cheap as paper. And then at that point, some of the large area projects of going to the Sahara and laying out solar cells actually become feasible. We might be able to do them. So here we're really looking to push down the cost of these materials by using these new manufacturing techniques that you wouldn't be able to use to make an LED or a solar cell the old way.
And the different colours, do they mean anything, or is that just to make them look pretty?
So the different colours, in a television, you need different colours of light to create the image. So traditionally you have a blue, a green and a red material. As you can see on the table we have here, as they are, they don't necessarily look that interesting, but if you put them under a UV light to make them emit, you actually see they then shine with the colours of blue or red. And so that's showing what they would do if we made a film out of them and put an electrical current across them, they would emit that colour of light. So in a TV, you'd have some of the blue material, some of the red material, and some of the green material, which then add together to create the image you want to see.
So this is what you're calling organic LED lighting, is it? So we've moved away from solar cells and now we're talking about organic lighting.
Yes.
And these will be used on big screens, or this will be used anywhere where you would currently have an image?
Yes, so where people probably would be familiar with them, if you go out and buy a Samsung smartphone, they refer to their AMOLED screen that uses these materials. As far as the light emitting materials are concerned, they are commercial, so you can buy them in phones. There are a few TVs out there which you can buy, they're OLED TVs. And then the other thing is, an area that's under development is just large area lighting, so we can make sort of tiles out of this material, and then you could sort of make nice displays and signs and road signs and all this kind of thing is another area people are interested in. So that's where you'd see these sorts of materials being used at the moment.
What are you doing in your PhD?
So in my PhD, I work on the light emitting materials. And I talked about the deposition methods earlier. I'm actually involved in spray coating. So the process is actually very similar to how if you were airbrushing a car to paint it or something like that. It's exactly the same thing, except instead of spraying paint, I'm spraying these materials, which then light up. So it's producing these devices using this spray coating method.
Now, as a PhD, that just sounds like you're having a bit of fun with spraying some metal or some surfaces. So what is the actual aim of your project?
When we spray these materials, we find that their properties are worse. So when we're making a light emitting device, what we care about is the efficiency, which is a measure. As we put electricity in, we get light out, and we want that efficiency to be as high as possible. We have various techniques that can give you quite nice light emitting diodes with high efficiencies. when you spray them, for various reasons, the materials get a lot worse. Some things don't work as well. The technique in general needs development. So I spray different concentrations of material. I might try some additives, or I might try changing the solvent. And then I build the rest of the device and I measure its efficiency. And then we try and understand what it is about the way I've changed things going from this solvent to a different one, how that then correlates with the properties you see when you then measure how much light is coming out of the device.
It's really interesting. I look forward to seeing it sprayed all over the outside and for graffiti artists too. There's lots of potential, I guess.
I'm sure there is, yeah.